This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
USA! USA!
Wait,
USA!
No, I'm triggered! Woo! I'm triggered!
I'm waving my flag, Hunter. Are you triggered?
I'm super triggered. I just, that image just racks with my brain.
Oh, gosh. I know. I've got the vapors. Where are my pearls? I need to clutch them. That's a headline coming out of Huffington Post. And oh, my God, the ratio on X was something to behold. It was hilarious. But what I'm talking about, I don't get network TV. I don't have Peacock, so I wasn't able to watch a lot of the stuff. But holy cow. First of all, the men's hockey team.
Uh-huh.
Quinn and Jack Hughes are like, I love these guys. That iconic image, which will go down, of Jack Hughes with the bloody broken teeth, with the flag draped over him, made me just, I was like kind of emotional all weekend about it. The weepy glees, you know. Mm-hmm. It was so cool. It was awesome. And the fact that they love their country so much, HuffPo and the left cannot stand it.
Yeah, they are a little upset that
a
hockey team would go ahead and win a championship in the Olympics for their country. How dare you win for this country?
Have the gall to say that they love America and it's all about the country and it's all unlike the little idiot from Bend who actually, and I love it. I'm sorry. This is kind of the karma Olympics. All the ones that were coming out bashing the country. I'm this, I'm that. Dude from Bend came in 10th. Busted up his bum. So mm-hmm. sad. The other chick who was all about identity politics and who she sleeps with came in, I think, 13th. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of them. And then the one skier that basically was an American skiing for China, didn't do anything. And then, of course, there's Alyssa Liu, who one of the most beautiful, I mean, probably the most beautiful skating routine. And absolutely the joy exuding from this girl. And now you've got the left going, those stupid conservatives and Republicans, they don't realize that she's woke. And it's like, look, dummy, we don't care. Politics isn't a religion for us. We don't sit there and negate people's accomplishments just because they have an opinion we disagree with, aside from the fact that she's 20 and a kid.
Yeah, well, and I also always factor in this, you know, people do not, and unfortunately our professional sports leagues and our college sports leagues have had to realize that people don't watch sports for the politics. They
exactly.
watch it for entertainment and to cheer mm-hmm. on their team. And it's why, you know, the ratings on some of these things when they went into their uber woke stages went down the toilet and they've corrected. Yep. They're doing everything they can to stay away from politics for the most part.
Yeah, you've got those stupid journalists out there trying to get them in gotchas. And now we've talked about this. They really need media training. I mean, you can't hate the U.S. media and frankly, a lot of the international media enough to these are kids out there. They put everything in there. Don't do gotcha questions with them and have them chime in with their opinions about political issues that they know nothing about. And I have to, again, hats off to Alyssa Liu for keeping her mouth shut.
Yep.
Well, we don't care what her politics are.
And that's the thing. It's like we want the athletes that represent the U.S. to put their time and their energy into being the best of the best at the sport they perform. We don't really care how they vote or what they want to do in their little bit of free time. Because if you ever talk to an Olympic athlete, they spend 24 hours a day training this stuff. So.
Exactly. And so it was so inspiring. I have yet to watch like the closing ceremonies. And I have to say, I didn't watch a lot of the Olympics. I've seen a lot of clips. I love Kash Patel was there mm-hmm. in the locker room drinking a beer with them. The left is losing their minds. Over these people are miserable hags. It sucks to be you to wake up every day. What can I be pissed off about today?
Well, here's the irony of all of this. They're pissed off that Kash Patel would have a alcoholic beverage to celebrate a United States victory, but they're pissed off that Donald Trump doesn't touch alcohol. So which one is it? Which one do you prefer?
I can't even with these people. There's no talking to him. You said you were looking over on, I don't know. I'm in my social media. I just don't have time for these people mm-hmm. anymore. I have one or two people that come in and try to troll me and I just sort of flick them away. It's like, whatever. And, but I just don't have time. But the people going out there and you really think the people that are kind of screaming that we're racist really are the racists. The ones that's mm-hmm. screaming that everybody's sexist. Well, they're really the sexist. It's projection 2:11.
The ones that can't post without mentioning Donald Trump, whether it's a, you know, local issue, a speeding ticket, whatever it is, they have to mention Donald Trump in it. I sit there and go, you sound like a middle school kid who is so obsessed with the girl sitting in front of him that he has to constantly like poke her in the back during class. Okay.
Right.
Just admit your obsession, admit your love, and start to deal with it on an adult level. Okay.
I just can't quit you, Donald Trump. It's like, I remember when I was in elementary school, if you knew that the, you know, Robbie Batchelder liked you because he punched you in the arm. It's like, okay, thanks. Ow. Don't like me so much.
Well, I go back and I'm, these are the kinds of people that every post during 2016 to 2020 had to do with Trump. And then every post from 2020 to 2024 had to do with Trump.
Yeah.
Biden won the election. Biden was the president, but you couldn't not put Trump's name in your posts. Grow up, people.
I know. It's ridiculous. I love this with George Carlin. Never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. Toss in social media and voila, here we are.
Oh, I love
it. And that's what it was like all weekend. It was like, oh, take a breath. Go outside. Breathe some fresh air.
Well, I go back because, you know, one of my favorite things to do when I was younger was listen to George Carlin because, gosh, he predicted so much of what we're seeing today.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And the simple
and
phrase.
And he was not a conservative.
Yeah. The simple phrase. Okay. The simple phrase of, you know, take how stupid the average person is and realize that half the people are stupider than that. And I sit here and go, boy, this plays out. And this was before the day and age of social media. At the best, we had like AOL chat rooms.
Well, even before that, because Carlin was doing this routine in the 70s and 80s. So, but he's right. And I mean, he really did pretty much nail it. And then with social media, it just ramps it up. You know, it like, again, it takes it to 11. I did see the video, too. And I love this and more reason for the left to lose their ever loving minds. The phone call. Mm-hmm. I mean, he sounded so proud and it was awesome. And you could tell that the guys on the team were just digging every second of that. And then it's like, because tomorrow's the State of the Union address, which I will be watching. Mm-hmm. I watch it every year, regardless of who's in the Oval.
Yeah. We've tortured ourselves a few times.
I know. It was, I mean, you could hear the pride in his voice and they were having a great time. And then he's like, they're going to be there. My understanding, he's going to send a jet. I mean, how? They're like, we're down for this. We're there. It was so cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually saw an article, and now I'm going to kind of assume it came out after this invite to the White House for the hockey team that mentioned that the Seattle Seahawks, the Super Bowl champions, haven't been invited to the White House yet, and who knows if they will. And I'm just going, well, let's find – it reminds me of, not to rehash the Super Bowl – but as everything played out, seeing articles out of Seattle and some other places about massive amounts of toilets flushing after the halftime performance, trying to justify that people held their pee so that they could watch Bad Bunny perform.
Sure. There's also a video of the men's hockey team. I got to give a shout out to the women's hockey team, too, because there's video of them when the flag was raised and the anthem was playing and they're all standing there linking arms, singing. There were so many beautiful moments and you kind of feel like this is what the Olympics is supposed to be. This is what America is. And it really felt like that after you tuned out the noise of the whiny ones who fell and came in last and whatever, nobody cares. There's another image of that Megan Rapinoe taking a knee, all these creeps taking knees. And then the pride of these athletes, it was beautiful.
So, I mean, realistically, we just got, you know, Miracle on Ice Part 2.
Yeah, 46 years later.
And I sit here and I go, you know, one of my biggest problems is the Olympics are not much must-watch TV anymore. People aren't tuning in and making time to watch the Olympics the way they used to. Why? Because of the woke garbage, the taking a knee and the whiny, you know, BS these people pull out. And I go, so they're doing a disservice to the whole event by making it all about them and they lost and they whine and they don't want to really represent the country they're there to represent, whatever their issue is. Mm-hmm. It's like, grow up, play your damn sport.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And I mean, it's clear I don't follow sports. I don't follow professional sports, college. I don't, none of it. The Olympics I do love because it's young people who've devoted everything to this. And sports is supposed to be unifying. And it really kind of felt like the United States collectively was like, shut up.
Well, that
we're so done with you. We really want to get together, be Americans, celebrate these amazing athletes. And so when those moments came up and when those teams won, it resonated so strongly.
Well, and that's the thing is you go through the history of the Olympics, mm-hmm. and this is an event literally designed to bring the world together.
Yes.
The one thing the woke claims they really want, one nation, you know, one world under God, whatever it is. Well,
not under God. Not under God. No.
Okay.
No.
Well, one nation under, I don't know, they want to kick and scream, you know, no kings, but yet they want to make believe, you know, Trump runs the universe. But I just sit here and go, the whole premise of the Olympics is they just want to shoot in their foot, and they see, you see national pride from every country. I mean, you mentioned China, one of our enemies is represented. Russia, one of our enemies is represented. This is a global phenomenon where we put this politics aside for sportsmanship competition.
And I mean, I remember iconic moments from when I was a kid watching it. I remember speed skater Dan Jansen circling the ice with his baby daughter named after his sister holding the flag. I mean, like Michael Phelps, Mark Spitz, that's really going back a long ways. The Miracle on Ice, Mike Ruzioni. I mean, the win there. I mean, there's so many iconic moments. This felt like that again, and it felt really good.
And the Olympics needs that. And unfortunately, like you said, you don't have Peacock, you don't have regular television.
Right.
If the last number of Olympics hadn't been such a turnoff, this is you might have paid for Peacock in order to watch this under normal circumstances.
Yeah. Instead, all I kept seeing was that press conference with that dippy doo from said, I don't have a dumb button from that kid. That's that dumb kid. He's a dumb kid. Hopefully he's learned his lesson. Well, and I hope, you know, as these other ones that you know, the Alyssa Lews and the Hughes brothers that are being celebrated and really lifted up and really embraced with the love of the country, I hope that speaks to them and says something to them. And they take a lesson from that.
Yeah,
I really hope they do.
I will give the athletes, especially these young ones, a slight amount of grace. What frustrates me is watching these reporters go up and try and make it about that rather than why they're there and what they're competing in.
Yeah, and so I'm hoping there's some lessons, granted pretty hard lessons, but I'm hoping there are some lessons learned. And really, again, with the media, stop playing the game. Stop playing on their field. Reject their premise. Do not answer them. They are, first of all, not your audience. And I think those kids learned that pretty hard. That reporter asking you that stupid question is not your audience. It's the people on the other side of the screen, the people that are listening, and you failed. And so I think coaches, they need to have media training in there. But I think some hard lessons were learned, and I hope some things were taken to heart. I really do.
Yeah, and you know, it's not just the athletes and you know, anybody that is in the public eye needs that kind of media training. I watched, you know, late last week, a reporter went up to Too Short, the rapper, who's like 50-year-old black man, and literally asked those kinds of the political questions. He's like, I don't do politics. I do virtually dirty rap, but, you know, virtually throw it back in the guy's face and say, that's not anything you should bother asking me. I don't need to share my politics with anybody. No one cares.
Yeah. It would be nice to see a sort of a vibe shift on that, a zeitgeist shift, and just sit there and reject it. Just reject it. So, okay, we've been a little long on that, but there was just so much I'd been bottling it up and couldn't wait to get on to talk about it. So, okay, you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Bi-Mart and Color Tile of Salem.
All right, so other news this weekend too, Puerto Vallarta. Crazy stuff. I was seeing this pop up. And then I find out I have some friends who were staying down there in this beautiful spot. And I guess they were at a conference and they almost extended their stay to yesterday, but they came back on Thursday. Thank God. That's got to just feel really weird. It's like, you know, not getting on a plane that crashes.
Yeah.
That
idea that, oh, we could have stayed for another day or two. And you know, it's one of those scenarios. We all know that a good portion of Mexico is controlled by the drug cartels.
Oh, yeah.
They run things. But because they don't want the Mexican government to interfere with them, they stay away from the tourist locations, the places that make Mexico a lot of money from American tourists in particular, you know, buying or staying in places like that. So being at Puerto Vallarta is kind of a bit of a shocker, but it's all because one of the heads of a cartel got killed in a shootout with the Mexican military.
Yeah, I mean, you always hear don't go outside of the mm-hmm. tourism, because again, Mexico, a lot of South America, Latin America depend on mostly Mexico, but depend on tourism dollars. I mean, we both have mm-hmm. lots of friends who go down there. I have never been and don't really care to right now. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because the Canadian government, those crazy Canadians, yeah, don't be vacationing in Florida or the United States. You go down to Mexico. Okay, how's that working mm-hmm. out for you? Because there are so many people that are stranded. All the flights have been canceled. They can't get out. It's got to be terrifying seeing some of the pictures. There's a Oregonian story, I think, of a woman mm-hmm. who is sheltering in place down there. A lot of people spend the winter down there. They have, you know, second homes down there. So that's got to be terrifying seeing what's happening. And then, of course, there is an Oregon angle to this. What was it, just last year? There was the largest fentanyl bust in American history that happened right in Salem. Yep. The dude was living in Salem. So don't think that this can't spread.
Yeah, and that's the thing is these cartels are extremely violent. I mean, reading up about the kind of things this guy did, you know, live streaming beheadings. They would kill anybody that got in their way. I mean, this extreme, extreme violence. So, of course, his cartel is now acting out. I know that they made threats that they would go door to door throughout Puerto Vallarta and other places, killing innocent people. Thank goodness that has not happened.
Yeah.
But I just go, this is the scenario when you're dealing with a third world country where certain parts of it are gorgeous and lovely and very accommodating mm-hmm. to travelers, mm-hmm. but other parts are very third world, where they are, you know, virtually he who has the guns makes the rules.
Absolutely. And that's kind of that's not a glitch. That's the norm in most of the world mm-hmm. and for most of history.
Yep.
I know, you know, when people have gone down and done mission trips down to Nicaragua, you know, you're digging a well or well, and that you're always told, do not leave this compound. And I remember a story. I don't remember who told it to me, but who decided she was going to go for a run and she never came back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you need to, especially when the locals tell you this, that you need to take heed. What's really frustrating about this, too, is the same brain dead leftists that are out there marching in the streets about ICE. These are the type of people they're trying to get out of our country, idiots. But yeah, let's go ahead and throw ourselves in front of them as they're trying to get these criminals and cartel members and drug. It's insanity.
Yeah. Drug and human traffickers.
Yeah.
I mean, this cartel is the largest supplier of fentanyl and methamphetamine into the United States.
Yeah, but Lefty Lou is going to go out there and throw herself in front of an ICE agent and then scream and yell. There's video of some 80-year-old man. I'm sorry, you're 80. You should know better.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like he got thrown to the ground. Well, you know, that's not nice, but if you're going to insert yourself into an active law enforcement situation, you might expect some consequences that might hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
I have watching some of the videos that occur. There was one went out from one of these very active people up in the Portland area, chasing people with her car, pulling sideways across
good
roads,
grief.
Try and block it. And I said, the local police should be picking her up for reckless driving. She's literally videotaping herself
yeah.
driving recklessly and endangering lives beyond the ICE agents. And yet they do nothing about it. And I go, until there's mass arrests for these kinds of people, unfortunately, it's going to continue. And I saw another thing out of Minnesota where they're claiming victory because ICE is, you know, cutting their numbers way down in Minneapolis.
I am so frustrated with the Trump administration on this that they pulled out, because the optics on that, they really should have stayed in there. And it's like moving over to Iran and all the other things that are coming on. I'm just very frustrated with that because it is being taken as a victory lap and a win. And yeah. It really shouldn't be. It should have been squashed.
I literally saw propaganda popping up of
yep.
we won. Keep it up. And I just sit here and go, there's your big problem. These brain dead losers are going to see that, believe they actually won, and most of them are actually just going to pack up and move on to the next city, whether it's mm-hmm. Chicago, whether it's Portland, whether it's Seattle, because that's the way this works. They're just moving wherever the worst behavior they can come up with is going to be accepted and acknowledged as winning.
Yeah, and where you know that the locals are going to back you.
Mm-hmm.
The people out there who are advocating and rallying and shedding tears for cartel members and murderers and child rapists and all the other stuff. It's absolutely vile. I do not know how these people rationalize it in their brain, how they look at themselves in the mirror and think that they are on the right side of this. It is truly baffling. I get because liberal and leftist are not the same thing. Mm-hmm. And most of these people, I don't know whether they're nothing. They're just buying whatever swill is being spoon fed them and they have nothing else. They have to find something that God-shaped hole, or in the case of these women, if they don't have any kids to pour their heart and soul into, they're going to pour it into something.
Well, it takes me right to, you know, these high school walkouts and, yeah, you know, and things like that. And the comments you see on this thing of these baby boomers, you know, literally encouraging it. And this is what you got to do. And I'm sitting there going, the best video I've seen was the principal walked out and said, yeah, you are leaving school campus. You can either be suspended or you can get back in class.
Because more of that.
Because that's what the school is actually responsible for. The school, mm-hmm, is required to keep these kids. I touched on it maybe on Thursday, or at least I sent it to you Thursday, maybe after the show, the video of the special needs kid,
yes,
who followed, yep, his class out for one of these marches, mm-hmm, got left behind and, yep, was wandering miles from the school at busy intersections when he was able to get a hold of his mom, but couldn't even tell her where he was. So right, she GPSed his phone to find him. And he is required by law to be taken care of. He cannot leave that school grounds without permission from a parent or with being escorted by, you know, this. So I hope to goodness that woman sues the hell out of her, yeah, school.
And I blame those teachers and the administration. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. You asked for levy money. Sorry.
And I blame.
Not for me. I'm voting no.
Oh, and I blame these people that are encouraging it online. And, yep, talking about how the greatest thing they ever did was walk out during Vietnam. And it's like,
jeez,
it's not the same
anymore. I know,
the
comments are nauseating.
Yeah, it's gross. It is disgusting. And these people, they are that lower half on stupid.
All right, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Yes, who are also our sponsors for our fifth annual food and clothing drive, which is in its last week. Can you believe the 28th is on Saturday?
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. This month is almost over, and all I can say is thank you to everybody that has, yeah, been out. We have done multiple pickups already, emptying barrels. The van right now is actually very full of clothing. Cool. That is going to get dropped off tomorrow and put to good use. So thank, yeah, you. Thank you, everybody. Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning, Green Acres Landscape, GA at Home, Elite Buyers, Chira's, and Highway Trailer Sales. All doing magnificent.
Absolutely. And during this last week, we are going to be spotlighting Highway Trailer Sales on all of our social media because we love them. We've been partnered up with Highway Trailer Sales forever. We, mm-hmm, love them. I bought a trailer from them.
There you go.
I did. I really did. So we love them. They're great. So again, yes, you're right. Thank you to everybody. And Be Bold Street Ministries is the beneficiary and all the many souls that they provide ministry, they minister to, and they provide help to. So we're delighted to do that. Okay, so I want to switch gears a little bit because it is political season. And that means, of course, it wouldn't be political season if the Democrats weren't exerting pressure on Oregonians and ratcheting up the fear porn.
What? No, that never happens.
Oh, yes, yes. You know what they're coming for now? Your kicker.
Isn't that every 2 year routine?
I know.
Come
they
on.
They want to get their greedy little paws on it and they can't because it's guaranteed by the Constitution. So it's always like, how do we figure this out? So what they're going to do now is it's like, hey, you know, those forests you love so much, be a shame if anything happened to them.
Well, everything happens to them already because we don't manage them well.
Well,
but if they can sit there and the irony in seeing what it is they're going to stop, you know, really well funding our forest services to keep wildfires from happening with the hope that maybe we get a big fire or two. So, they can put a little pressure on the voting public to say, we need more money, give us the kicker.
Yeah, we can't fund those cameras that would tell us if we see one coming. And like Kate Brown did in 2020, let it burn for 3 weeks. And then, of course, it's a conflagration and people die and, you know, entire communities are gone. Mm-hmm. That's what they are capable of doing. Wouldn't put it past him to do it again, especially with, you know, Kate Brown 2.0, actually worse with Kotek in there. But yeah, and then it's like, well, and then it's going to go for school funding and wildfire funding. First of all, let's go back in the way back machine. I remember in the 80s when the lottery was coming up. Yeah, that's going to go for school funding. That'll fix everything.
Well,
no, yeah. Didn't quite do that, did it? Where'd that money go?
Well, that's the thing. I'm sitting here going, they encouraged state-run gambling with the idea that, guess what? We're going to, you know, have all this money for schools. They'll be rich and lush and, oh, they'll be the greatest things ever. Well, remember a few years ago, they said, well, we didn't quite get enough out of the lotteries we need, which I can't imagine how they didn't get enough.
Right.
But now it's, hey, if we legalize marijuana, then all that money can go to the schools.
Right. All that tax money. We're going to legitimize all the pot dealers and everything. There's so much money with it, and it's going to go there. Where'd that money go?
Yeah. Where's all this money disappearing to? It's sounding a little bit like it's not necessarily a money problem, but more a spending issue.
And a management issue. Clearly, we have people that are not capable of managing. I mean, I wonder how they do on their own finances around the old kitchen table. Because they're really screwing up Oregon's. I mean, the money just vanishes. Or, you know, it goes into this multi-layered NGO, laundered through this and sent over here and cleansed up over here. And then it's spat out over here.
Are you trying to say that they've turned our schools into leering centers? Well, then that's the thing is if you actually look at the numbers, our per child spending at our schools is one of the highest in the nation. So they're technically spending the money that way. But yet we're not seeing any results at the ground level. And instead we get constant, we need more money.
And unfortunately, and I'm hoping, praying that the 2026 election will be different. But you look at like Measure 110, how that was sold. Mm-hmm. We're going to get people into treatment. It's going to be good for everyone. We're going to take away the stigma. That has been an abject. Just watch one of Kevin Dahlgren's videos on X.
Wait a minute. You got to give them a little bit of credit. They've helped five or six people, I think.
I don't know. We haven't run the numbers. I know. Granted, last time we checked, it was five.
And granted, the homeless population ballooned by 35% in the state of Oregon when you did that. But gosh darn it, they helped five or six people. Probably the same five or six people that would have been helped if we hadn't legalized everything and encouraged everyone to come here.
Right. So the moral of the story is when Democrats, because they have ruled the roost in Oregon for 40 years, whenever they tell you something, just believe the opposite.
Then
you'll be okay. If they urge a yes vote, you're a no vote. If they urge you to vote for that candidate, run in the other direction.
Well, I just sit here and go, the other trend we need to start looking at is, for some reason, Democrats believe that every problem can be solved if you just up your taxes and give them more money to spend.
Government.
But yet, for 40 years, every problem we can talk about has gotten worse as we throw more money at it and raise our taxes to pay for it.
Right. And it's never enough money, hence the gas tax. And I think that got punted to today. I'm not sure. I haven't checked before we went on air. If it's been voted on, of course, you know, to put it on the May ballot, because again, everything has to be shenanigan-y.
It's weird how last minute they want to be with all this stuff.
I know. It's so gross. And I just hope that tide is turning, that even, you know, reasonable Democrats, liberals will see, what have you got to lose? Everybody, it just sucks all the way around for everybody. What have you got to lose? Give the Republican a try. Uh-huh. Maybe don't vote for the Democrat candidate. Try the Republican candidate. Give them a try. If they screw it all up, okay, you vote them out next time.
Well, and let's look at it honestly. If we were to get a Republican governor in the next election, the chances of them having a Republican majority in the House and Senate be able to make massive changes isn't there. So it might just slow down the death spiral that we're all involved in.
It might. Unfortunately, the left, the progressive socialist communist Marxists have captured the institutions as well. They've captured the judiciary. They've captured education. So even if you do get a Republican governor in there, which I'm praying that happens. And we were looking at during our after party show last Thursday with Jeff Reynolds, looking at some of those poll numbers. I haven't checked it today, but it was at like 93% to 7%. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's like Dudley, Drazen, And Ed Diehl, actually, and then I think David Medin is kind of in the mix a little bit there for who, as far as who will win the Republican primary, which is in May.
And that's a betting
line. And whoever that is, get behind that person and vote for them.
Yeah.
Just do it. Even if you have to hold your nose, do it.
Yeah, as we said, that if you listen to that one, if you haven't, it was fun. It was a fun little 15-minute segment.
So go
check it out. But at the same time, these are betting lines. So these aren't necessarily the odds, but this is where people are putting their money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I always,
sorry, I needed a drink of water.
No, it's okay.
Getting overclimbed.
But the way I look at it is if you are in Oregon and you're not putting your money on the Democrat, then you haven't been paying attention for the last 40 years.
Yeah. But I mean, all of this goes to show, and again, since they're coming for the kicker and that's what they're going to do. They're going to hold you hostage. They're going to hold your forest hostage. They're going to hold education. Because again, if education, they always scream and yell, that's the most important thing. Yet it always seems to get funded last. And then they cry poverty. Mm-hmm. Stop believing these people. My gosh, whatever it is they're telling you is not what the truth is. It just isn't.
And
that money really belongs in your pocket. I mean, Oregonians are being taxed within an inch of their lives, and there's more on the way, depending on what happened with this gas tax, but they're sneaking other things in. They, you know, these bills have little things stuffed in there that you don't see. They're like 50 pages long, and it's legalese, and nobody reads them.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just look at, you know, some of the places where they send all this money that, they're forking over. And I sit here and go, and, you know, you talk about pulling at heartstrings. This is why they gather children, high school kids, middle school kids, elementary school kids, to go out and stand outside on a rainy day and protest that the schools need more money. If it was a bunch of, you know, old white hairs, no one's going to care quite so much. So
are the kids demanding more money? I've seen their signs, there's a lot of misspellings on a lot of these signs. So clearly they're not leering much.
With a week or two ago, they had a rally where teachers and students were out at the, you know, gold statue downtown to tell us how they need more money for school.
That's right. Speaking of the gathering at the Capitol, there was a gathering this morning around 10. To push back against the latest gun grab, because that is never ending either. That's just crazy. And of course, the demanding moms are all there in their red shirts posing for a photo op with Kotex. And it's like, gee, you think it's baked in the cake how that's going to go? But I mean, people, it's this constant exhausting cycle of having to constantly battle for your rights.
Yep. And I sit here and I question, are these really demanding moms or are these demanding women without children that everyone now is their child? Because gosh darn it, they need somewhere
we
to put
care.
That love.
We care so much. We care so much. Doesn't matter if we're right or wrong. We just care.
They care so much, but yet they will make sure that our schools are the least protected buildings in the government.
Right? We protect money and celebrities more than we protect our kids. It's absolutely insane. All right. Anyway, don't let them take your kicker. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Do whatever you can. Don't let them take it. That's your money. You will spend it far better. And frankly, I'm pretty sure you need it more and we'll do better with it.
You know, if they're going to do anything with the kicker, I would like it if they would lower our tax rate so there isn't quite so much money going into the kicker. I would like it in my hands before it leaves my paycheck.
There you go. There you go. All right, let's go ahead and take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill and Cozy's New York Deli.
All right. So headline, Coin6 News, Portland Metro Chamber's Andrew Hone addresses the city's economic future. Okay, nothing spectacular about that, except for some of the numbers. What caught my eye, though, the news was so depressing that they had an emotional support llama to calm people down afterwards. I'm sorry.
I'm kind of speechless at this point. When our elected officials are so frail and so fragile that when the numbers aren't what they want them to be, they need an emotional support llama to take care of them.
I'm assuming it's the progressive llama that's always at Salem events. What is it, Caesar, the no-drama llama, and the progressive llama, who's very cute, and I'm sure petting him does lower your blood pressure. But some of the numbers, a few of the sobering numbers from the article, downtown foot traffic has plateaued at just 85% of pre-pandemic levels. Last week on Thursday when we were talking to Jeff, talking about the real estate, Big Pink went for, what, 85% less than what it went for just 10 years ago, something like that. Significantly, Portland lost 8,800 jobs in 2025, ranking fourth to last of all metro regions. I mean, there's talk of the Trailblazers saying bye-bye. Yeah, it's not good. I mean, maybe that was probably a wise move to get the drama, no drama llama there. Well, I don't even know.
Yeah, when 30 to 35 of your business fronts are empty now, I mean, it is a city being taken over by drugs and homelessness. And you have to sit there and question. I mean, I know that the governor made an effort to reach out to the NBA and have a meeting and about what they could do. But I sit there and still go, if they invest X amount of dollars to updating and renovating the Moda Center, what's that going to do for the rest of the area that is virtually a ghost town?
Yeah, well, and Portland ranks 80th out of 81 metro areas in retail attractiveness. That is a steep hole to dig out of.
Color me shocked.
And again, I know, and I haven't been to Portland in ages. I don't even like driving around it, through it, near it. I mean, it's like, we're taking 205. We're not going anywhere near Portland. I'm not driving through it. I just don't feel comfortable at all there. Mm-hmm. And I, I'm not alone. And again, with foot traffic being down after COVID destroyed it, which, you know, whatever, but destroyed a lot of things, but a lot of cities have bounced back. A lot of states have bounced back.
And I don't know if
Oregon and Washington and California, not so much.
And that's where I fall is I don't think it was COVID that destroyed it. It was COVID policy that destroyed it.
Yeah.
And the idea behind it, you know, I've been seeing, I know they're doing a lot of renovation in the area around OMSI, but at the same time, I sit there and go, how are you going to convince businesses to come and operate in these areas and pay the amount of taxes they're going to have to pay? And, you know, I just sit here and go, and it doesn't bode well for the future of the Trailblazers, let alone the idea that someday Major League Baseball may come to Oregon. I go, why would Oregon, with those economic numbers, be attractive to anybody?
Right. I'm looking over here, an Oregonian article, headline, Oregon business bankruptcies hit a 12-year high. I mean, you see more going out of business signs. Restaurants are struggling. I mean, Portland always had like the coolest eclectic international dining. It was like, it was very cool. I still remember Portlandia, that episode with the chicken, with the people going in wanting to know, was it treated well? How did it, before it was slaughtered? Was it, you know, was it counseled? I mean, it was so quintessentially Portland. It's not the same. And again, it all coincides with, this is all policies and this is all choices.
Yeah. Did it walk itself up to the butcher's table, or did you have to force
and
it?
And sacrifice itself for the good of the, yeah. Oh my gosh. That was the funniest thing. And they were really like, what was its name? And it had a little like resume and a picture. It was a funny episode.
But I mean, that's the thing is we literally talk about the way this Portland City Council operates, and they need a llama. Yeah. They got chased out of their own chambers a few days ago by the protesters that they love and they encourage, and they bail out of jail, so much to the point that one of their socialists said that they should be allowed to conceal carry when they're in these things.
Whoa. I mean, what? Amazing. She's since backtracked that, but
well, yeah, as soon as she realized what she was saying.
But isn't that funny that was the impulse? I need to be able to protect myself. That's not a wrong impulse.
But why is it that these, you know, socialist counselors want to be able to protect themselves, but we as the general public shouldn't be able to?
Yes. Well, I wonder if the demanding moms made some demands on her.
Oh, well, probably.
Rules for thee and not for me. That's how that works. But again, you know, the leadership, it really is not, doesn't have any, they want to punish businesses. How many times have we heard, you know, during the summer of love and, you know, all the riots in 2020, it's just a business. They have insurance for that. Well, you start treating people like that over and over and over again, pretty soon they're going to be like, you know what? I'm not feeling the love here in Portland. I'm out of here. I'm going over to Boise, or I'm going to, you know, Las Vegas or whatever.
I have to sit there and look at that and go, you know, these people obviously have never had to purchase insurance. I guess mom and dad are not requiring them to pay any insurance for their room in the basement, because the way insurance works, you make a claim. Maybe they forgive you on that one, but by the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, tenth claim, now all of a sudden your rates are skyrocketing if you're even insurable at that point in order to cover the losses that they constantly have.
And I have more horror stories about especially rural homeowners who can't even get fire insurance in Oregon.
Well, unfortunately, it's this kind of behavior and this belief is why businesses, grocery stores are packing their bags and leaving major metropolitan areas because guess what? They can't handle the amount of insurance claims on the theft that happens.
Yeah. And then you've got, again, politicians in Oregon headed by Kotax who are not going to let the provisions of the big, beautiful bill, you know, take effect in Oregon. But somehow this is all Trump's fault.
Well, she's one of those people that probably just needs to really do a little soul searching and just admit the love, because everything she talks about, Trump is all she can say, whether it's a local issue, national issue, international issue. Heck, if it's a, you know, universal issue happening out on Pluto, she has to throw Trump's name in there.
Well, she is. I don't know. I guess it's a pile this under. Isn't it ironic? She's asked the federal government for federal funds because of the storm, the last storm, the windstorm, I guess, declaring an emergency. I mean, it was pretty bad. The Northwest and Inland Northwest got hammered by that. But I thought she hated them. I don't know. But until I need them, and then I need them, and then I'm going to ask for money, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, that's kind of the way this works. You know, your money is green whether I like you or not. So just give me more of it.
But they're going to continue to set it on fire in Oregon. And again, you know, kind of circling back to the kicker, with hands out, reaching into your pockets, whether you like it or not, don't let them. Stop believing the fear porn and the baloney that they keep shoveling.
All I know is I don't want us to look like New York if we get a snowstorm here in Salem.
What do you mean? You wouldn't go help shovel with your five pieces of ID?
My five pieces
that you have to shovel?
Well, yeah. I mean, I could come up with that, I think. Maybe. I got to check my wallet. But, you know, it's all the feces that gets left behind is where I'd have my big challenges seeing those videos last week.
Well, don't worry. They're covered up now. There's new snow. There's new snow. 2 feet, at least 2 feet of new snow is covering up the poop. It's interesting.
If you can't see it, it doesn't exist.
Snow makes everything better. It's all pretty and white until it gets like road sludge and poop and pee in it. And then it's not so great. A lot of videos coming out. And I'm sorry, I really don't have a lot of sympathy for New York Democrats. Mm-hmm. Y'all voted for this. You're all going to have to deal with the consequences of this commie, because that's exactly what he is. He didn't hide it from you.
Nope. But he convinced you that he knew how to do it the right way.
He's just so unserious. But, you know, he's just, yeah. So there's a lot of videos and they're mad and they feel like they, you know, they were lied to. But in a way, I'm going to, you know, free groceries, free buses. I'm going to freeze the rent. Actually, no, really, I'm going to raise your property taxes by 9.5% and blah, 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 blah. I can't muster in a lot of sympathy here. Just can't do it.
I sit there and I go, as a property owner in New York, if they're freezing the rent and jacking up your property taxes 10%, how can you afford not to just walk away from that building and turn it into a slum?
Right. Well, that's the thing. What's the motivation for a landlord to get in there and then make any repairs and do any fixing on it? They're not going to. So you think a lot of them are bad now. And you know, rents in real estate in New York is, I mean, ridiculously sky high for like a studio apartment. You're looking at $15,000 to $2,000 in a crummy part of town, maybe over in Brooklyn. So anyway, they're getting what they voted for.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we're starting to see that that mentality spread. I know that the Washington State Legislature is talking about upping their sales tax throughout the state of Washington. And of course, Oregon.
Adding an income tax.
And an income tax. And then, of course, Oregon is they want your kicker. They want your gas tax money. And they want to make sure that even the federal benefits you can get are null and void, because we'll just give them to Oregon instead of the federal government.
Maybe some people are going to be making some big decisions. I don't know. Is it getting to a tipping point? Will things change in November?
At what point does pocketbooks play a bigger role than a letter after a name? That's my question.
I feel like it's soon.
I'm hoping it's soon, because if it's not soon, it might never happen.
Come on, Oregon. It's choices. It's all politics and choices and policies.
Yeah.
All right. That is it for us today. Go out, enjoy the day, and we will see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.